Okay, me and three friends decided to try and look for private accommodation because we sort of wanted the independence of having a flat of our own. But we also knew what a nightmare it was to try and find a private accommodation in St Andrews. So we also decided to apply to halls. We decided that it would be best to apply to the hall that we were already in because we really liked the atmosphere. We liked everyone there and we knew other people who were hopefully going to be staying. So we decided to apply to both things, basically. We looked around lots of estate agents and it was a complete nightmare. So all the listings come out separately and you look through and you have to try and find what suits you, and then you have to like run across town, look at a flat, and by the time you get back and go, yeah, I'm applying for this flat, they tell you that it's off the market anyway and it's completely pointless. So we had a huge difficulty trying to find a flat. So we were really relying on getting back into student accommodation at this point because, yeah, we pretty much thought that the flat hunt was over. And this was, well, round about the time when we were finding out whether or not we would get in. And then that morning comes where we all get the email and it's, no, we're not going to get into university accommodation. And we're all a little bit terrified. Looking at some really bizarre things, places in Dundee, which isn't that bizarre. I was also looking at maybe getting like a caravan. Things were getting a bit dire. And yeah, we were really freaking out. We all sent separate emails to the accommodation office and kind of asked, you know, if something comes up, please, please just let us, because we're so desperate to get back into anywhere. At this point, we were saying it doesn't matter what hall because we were pretty desperate and we had no guarantee of private accommodation. What we decided to also do was go around to every single private estate agent that we could and ask if they had any listings. We went around to lots of them. Most of them said no. Thankfully, we did get one yes, and we were able to go out, look at the place, and it was great. It's way out of town, but it was like the one place that was still on the market. So we applied for it, along with, I think they said, 12 other groups. So we had to interview, and yeah, we interviewed, and it was about 3 days later that we got the call, and my roommate and I got this phone call, and we just knew it was a private number, and we knew that it was the estate agent, and we just like had a panic attack before I answered. I was like, "You answer, no, you answer," and thankfully we did get private accommodation in the end. One of the major problems with the whole system is that you go for a flat hunt. So if you do want a flat, then you sort of have to sort of look around, but also you're applying to halls with the hope of getting in, just so you have a backup. But halls, of course, shouldn't really be a backup. People who are applying for halls should be able to say, yes, this is what I want, and know that they will eventually take up that place, because otherwise you end up getting a system where come September, you have all these empty rooms when there are people desperately searching for places to live in March. And it just makes no sense. But actually, that was kind of the case with me, in that in each hall, you're allowed 10 people. But the wardens are allowed to choose 10 people who they feel would contribute to the hall life and who should come back. And I was sort of taken aside and offered one of those spots. But because this was really early on in the process, I was still looking for a flat, hoping to get a flat. It meant that I had to turn that down. I do know that there are some people who said yes to that offer, but then continued to look for a flat. And then basically they decided to take up the position as a flat and then left those 10 spaces. So it was a really awkward situation where the wardens felt a little bit screwed over. So yeah, I think that was a huge problem, and that was something I wasn't willing to do, but in fact that meant that I was left in the lurch because I turned down a place in Hall, a guaranteed place to live, in the hope that I'd be able to find a flat, and then couldn't. And then, you know, it was really quite hectic and very difficult, depressing and stressful time, particularly when you've got a lot of work to be doing at the same time.
So yeah, that was a story from Kate. If you have any of your own stories for accommodation, make sure to send it to us on the Buzzbox. We are listening, and we do want to hear all your amazing stories. We know they are out there, so feel free to let us know about them. And yeah, if it's about applying to halls and then not getting the place, or talking to wardens about it and trying to get on the list, or anything of that nature, do give us a shout. How about you guys, Grace and Sophie?
Well, we were amazingly lucky. We've got a beautiful flat. We're living together with three lovely flatmates. And, yeah, shout out to Winchsteady for being incredible.
Definitely. I will admit, though, obviously, despite we were extremely lucky, it was a very, very stressful process throughout the entire year. I think we started thinking about it in, you know, November. Mm. And I remember walking around to all these real estate agencies, and they'd be like, we don't even release our list till January. But, you know, you really got to get on top of these things very early on. So
yeah,
it's just kind
of really prepared.
So, yeah, definitely something to prepare for. We'll have a few remarks from Dougal Adamson, the SRC accommodation officer, in just a moment. But here's one more song, Come On To My House, if you have a house in St. Andrews.
And we're back. So, Dougal, can you tell me a little bit about your role as the SRC accommodation officer?
Absolutely. So, being the accommodation officer basically means I get to represent students on everything to do with accommodation. In the team, we have me as the accommodation officer. We also have two other reps, Mimi Taylor, who's the university managed rep, and Cassie Roberts, who is the private accommodation rep. So that kind of is how we spread out our roles. I try and interact between the two and make sure we have good representation going from the students to the university on a range of different issues.
Cool. Okay, perfect. I hear you've created an accommodation survey. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So a lot of the time people talk about accommodation and they complain about we don't have enough houses or there's not enough spaces, or it's very much kind of chit-chat without actually having any real statistics or facts. So especially when the university comes to us and says, okay, so what's the student's view? We need to be able to go back with hard concrete facts about what students want and what they need. So that was really the driving force behind the survey. So we released it about 3 weeks ago, and it's got a range of questions, mainly focusing on university managed accommodation, but also with aspect of private accommodation as well. The results of which should come out in about 10 days time, and they're going to be presented by the SRC accommodation team to the residential strategy working group, who advise university on long-term university accommodation policy. So we're going to do a presentation and be able to go there and tell them exactly what the students want, which is the first time we've been able to do that in ages. So, yeah, feeling pretty positive about that.
Oh, that's fantastic. So this is going on live right now, and all you listeners can get involved through the SRC accommodation Facebook page, because we really need everyone's input so that we can make a difference.
I will say that so far we've got over 900, almost 1,000 students to fill out a survey.
Oh, wow.
Which, when you compare it to residential business services, who are the guys at Run Hall, they normally get around 1,000 students as well. So to actually just have a student-made survey be spread out there and got enough buzz behind it to actually match what the university does itself, that's something I'm quite proud of.
Pretty amazing. So in this harsh economic climate that we're going through right now, the importance of accommodation bursaries has never been more relevant. Do you agree with this?
Absolutely. And the accommodation bursaries is also another scheme that's open at the moment. Closes on the 26th of October for applications fair. And the criteria are, if you're living in Hull and you're able to show financial hardship, you can download the application form. It's simple, easy, one-sheet form. Hand it back into either student services in the union or the ASK, and they'll be able to deal with it and process it, and you'll hear back within a month or so. It's a really good scheme. We've got a bigger bursary fund than ever before. I suppose credit has to go to last year's sabbatical team who negotiated that. Gone from something like £36,000 to this year we've got over £100,000, which is great.
Wow.
So we're able to give out a lot more money and really have a big impact on the students of St. Andrews.
That sounds excellent. So also, can you tell us a little bit about this Right to Rent Week?
Absolutely. So this has been launched all over the internet yesterday. Right to Rent Week is an accommodation awareness week, basically trying to provide a platform for discussion on a number of issues surrounding accommodation in the UK and in St. Andrews specifically. We've got lots of events going on throughout the week, and I can give you a quick breakdown if you'd like.
Of course, we'd love that.
So on Monday the 22nd, we're going to have a drop-in with Eleanor Feltham, who is the University and Unions Accommodation Advocate. She is a part-time member of staff here in the union, and she specialises in the legal aspects of leases, deposits, everything to do with accommodation. She is the unheralded star of the union. Not enough people know about her, which is really why we're having this drop-in session. So we want people to come along, say hi, find out what she does, find out how you can contact her, and just so people know that she can deal with an array of issues. It can be anything trivial, or it can be your landlord's going to chuck you out your flat tomorrow. She's awesome. She's got an amazing record of dealing with problems, and we really want to make sure that people are able to access her. And
she sounds like a rock star.
Yeah.
I wish I knew about
her. She's awesome. She's so good. She helps out so many people, but we just need to make sure we keep spreading the word.
Yeah, excellent.
On Tuesday, we're having Transitions Housewarming. So that's the Transition Initiative, who are going to hold a kind of quick one-hour interactive session about how you can save money in your flat from things like heating, eating well, all these different kind of things. And we'll kind of pushing the sustainable aspect from that. So that's happening in Parliament Hall from 7 till 8 on Tuesday the 23rd.
And we will be attending that.
That should be a good session.
First bills have come in, so tracking, so we will be there.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a big, that's pretty much number one, I think, when it comes down to students, it's money, it's financials.
Completely.
So that should be a good event to help people know where we can cut costs and where we can afford to spend a bit more. On Wednesday, we've got the At Home and Abroad Society, who are going to hold an information afternoon. Now, they specialise in providing support to people who are going and people who just came back from year and semesters abroad. And again, not that many people know about them as a society, and I didn't even know about them until about a month ago, and I stumbled across them on the union website. So they have created basically a list of top tips for trying to find a flat once or university managed accommodation when you come back from a year abroad, because I know, not from personal experience, but just friends talking about it, it can be difficult if you're on the other side of the world. You've got to just get a lease signed, or need references, or all that kind of stuff that goes along with getting a flat. It's so much harder when you're thousands and thousands of miles away.
Yeah, no, I have friends, actually. It's kind of that whole issue has scared them away from pursuing any type of abroad situation. They're just so nervous about not having anywhere to live when they come back. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, so they're be in the union main bar all afternoon. Basically, come down, have a chat. I've tried to keep it pretty informal for a few of events, just so you can come along, say hello. It's about getting to know people and knowing where your contacts are and where you can get information. So they're a really good bunch and really helpful, and they'll be able to give a lot of good guidance and advice to people who are thinking about going in years abroad. On Thursday, we've got a double dose of accommodation week action. Early evening, we've got the Union Debating Society, who are going to hold a mini debate for us. It's entitled, This House Would Support a Private Halls of Residence. And it kind of goes back to what you mentioned at the start, the recent rejection of the plans for East Sands. So that's a private student accommodation development who had basically been recommended by the Planning Commission, had a lot of support behind them, and then the councillor just destroyed it and voted completely against it. So we've actually got a representative coming from Alumno, who are the group that had the bid in for East Sands. They're coming, they're going to speak. We've got one of the senior students who's going to give a speech as well, one of the sabbaticals, and a yet-to-be-announced speaker who's also going to come along. So that should be a really good event. The debates this year have been awesome. The debates officer, Alex, has done such a good job at organising everything. She's, like, amazing. And that's going to be a really good event. So that's running from early doors, 6:30 till 7:30. So it'll be before the main debate of the evening. But make sure you come down, because it's going to be a really good one.
Yeah, it really is an issue. I think that affects everyone in this university. Everyone needs a place to stay, to attend here. So it's definitely a very, hot blood.
Later on the Thursday, we're holding House Night in the Union, which isn't going to be informative in terms of accommodation at all. It's basically just a chance to play lots of house music in Venue 1. But I suppose part of the awareness week, so you're supposed to have a bit of fun, so why not? So we've got three student DJs who are going to play sets for us. We've got, I think, kind of set theme is kind of Ibiza Sunset, so taking me back to Balearics, which should be cool. because, yeah, I love house music and dance and stuff. So that's running 10 till 2, £2 entry, 150 drinks. No gimmicks or anything like that, just decent, solid house music and some good fun. So I would recommend that.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah.
In a groove on.
Yeah, I know. No cheesy bump music, just awesome house music. Okay, and then on Friday, we've got the application deadline for the accommodation bursaries, as I previously mentioned. The SRC accommodation team are going to be kind of buzzing around St Andrews and Union in the ask, collecting the last few applications, making sure we're all in, and then we'll officially close the deadline. And then the guys from Student Services who organise and run the bursaries, they're going to come down and come for a drink, and anyone who's interested in the bursaries, applied, or just wants to come along and have a drink, feel free to do so. We'll be in the Union from just past 5 o'clock, just having a chat, discussing the bursaries in general, and just having a talk about accommodation. The final event is happening on Saturday, which is the 27th of October, and it's the Forward Thinking Seminar on Student Accommodation. That was an initiative launched last year by Sam Falls, who was one of the sabbaticals, and it started off as a conference, and they now do small little seminars, and we're going to run a seminar for us on student accommodation. And we've got the head of the NUS for Scotland, Robin Parker, coming to talk. We've got a representative from Residential Business Services. We've got the founder of a new student accommodation website coming along, Alan Farrington. And hopefully one of the state agents is coming along too. So we're going to have a proper kind of proactive, constructive discussion about accommodation, starting off looking at the UK situation and then moving down to St Andrews specific. But it should be a really good chance to actually not just shout ideas off each other, but actually think properly about it. What would we do? How would we do that? Constructive conversations.
Oh, this sounds like a really good week.
Yeah,
next week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it seems very casual. Kind of everyone I know walks by the Union, you know, go to class, go to Tesco. So just feel free to drop in at any time next week and you'll get some very, very, you know, timeless, invaluable information and maybe some house music, you know, maybe some drinks. Sounds very fun.
We're all over Facebook, so check out the SRC accommodation team page. We've got Right to Rent event on there. We'll be on Twitter as well. And you'll see posters plastered all around town. I was out there last night putting them up everywhere. So hopefully you'll spot those too. So, yeah.
Awesome.
So I guess one of the questions we could ask is, what are you hoping to get out of Right to Rent?
It's a bit of a tongue twister, isn't it? Yeah. Last year, it's the second year it's happened, and last year it was Accommodation Week, which sounded a bit bland. So I was trying to make it a bit snappy, but I think it's just impossible to say. So we're going to have to try and find a balance somewhere. Realistically, I think the Awareness Weeks aren't about creating massive change. You're not going to do that in a week. And realistically, as an SRC member, I'm not probably going to get that in a year. It's about kind of putting the seeds in people's heads, thinking about the issue. And that's what a lot of the events are kind of tailored towards. So having people discussing accommodation and discussing the issues and what they would do and just getting that kind of ball rolling, really. So that's what I'd really like to get out of it.
Nice. And what would you say is the wider role of accommodation in the SRC team as a whole?
It's really about providing support to students. I think sometimes people get confused. They think that we are the people that can sort all the logistical issues, and that's really not where we stand. We're just kind of keen students. We don't actually have, like, we don't have the power or the tools to sort, sort more kind of like practical issues in your flat. But what we can do is represent to the university, hold them to account on the decisions, and pressure them on the most important decisions. And that's really what it's all about. And that's what I'm quite passionate about doing this year.
Okay, and then one final last question from the buzz box. If you were homeless in St. Andrews, Dougal, where would you put your hypothetical cardboard box?
Where would... Oh. Okay, let's think about that. I suppose if you're going to think logically, if you're homeless, you probably need a food source and you need warmth. That kind of narrows it down to Derwish or Empire. If I'm going to choose one of the two, I've got a poster up in Derwish, so it has to be them. I'm going to go outside Derwish.
Yeah, the chairs there.
Yeah, yeah.
You can just lounge at them. Pretty much. I don't think they would.
And if not that, actually, I do see a lot of people sleeping in the library, so it's pretty much like a kind of homeless shelter anyway. So, like, Yeah, I had a guy next to me yesterday just kind of taking a quick snooze. It was like...
You got to get back by the gates, though. I get such anxiety.
Yeah.
I just look really sadly over at the people and beg them to let me in because I don't know how to get in.
So we should probably have to wrap it up. But thanks so much for coming along, Dougal.
No problem. I've enjoyed it. First time on Stars. It's cool.
Yeah. And here comes the news bulletin in 3 minutes. And welcome back to the 5 o'clock news hour. That was the Star News Bulletin. There's always a podcast for that on standrewsradio.com just shortly after this show. But to get back into our hourly broadcast on accommodation, we will shortly have Freddie Ford here with us in the studio for an interview. But before, we have one more accommodation story for you, this one from Avalon, a fourth-year art history and psychology student, and her story about her two flats.
I've been living in this private accommodation for about... 2 semesters and a half almost. Anyway, so went away for Christmas break, was out of the flat for about maybe 3 weeks, came back January before exams, and discovered that in my closet there was mold all over the walls, the window, covering all my clothes, coats, nice, expensive things. Basically, everything was covered in mold. Immediately, I had remembered that a leak had started in November in my closet, and I had notified my landlord, and of course she had done nothing about it, and then me being a student, being busy, and didn't think anything of it until I discovered the mold in January. So, right before exams start, I'm now living in a room with mold everywhere. Super bad for your health. Makes you tired, makes you feel sick all the time. Makes you feel run down. So I had to deal with all my clothes. That was pretty traumatic. Moved all my clothes into the living room, not allowing for a space for me to sleep. Had to deal with laundry. So immediately contacted my landlord. She said she couldn't do anything about it because she was ill and couldn't be exposed to mold. What else? Went to the university for help. Went to the union, spoke to... whatever, student advocates, Eleanor Feltham, university accommodation rep, legal, whatever. Had a chat with them, basically learned that in Scotland, dampness and mold is not really an issue. So basically they couldn't do anything to help me. I, in the middle of exams, slept on a couch, luckily, in a friend's flat for about a month, basically. So trying to get through exams, trying to find somewhere else to live, because I obviously didn't want to be in a place that had mold everywhere, trying to get out of my lease. It was an absolute nightmare. University couldn't help. Most of all, university couldn't put me in any temporary accommodation. There was nothing. I'd have to pay a ton to be put in halls, and, I mean, last minute, nobody has those kind of funds. So magically got through exams. What else? My goodness. Yep, staying at a friend's for a month, then decided to look around. My friend had just purchased a flat, so I decided to move there after intersemester. So moved all my things in there. It was a ground floor flat, and infested with slugs! So that's flat number two. So that was one move there. Yeah, infested with slugs. And then basically said, game over. Not going to live there after mold and now slugs. Yep, took residence on my friend's couch again. You know, third year, second semester, lots of deadlines, doing joint honors in psychology and art history. Absolute nightmare trying to find somewhere to live for, you know, a reasonable price as well. So doing that on my own because private accommodation was the only way to go. It wasn't until I found somewhere until, what was it? I'm trying to think. March? Mid-March? Yeah, mid-March. And luckily found a great place on Queen's Terrace, with some really cool people. And that was really lucky, but it was an absolute horror story and like, having deadlines and exams while you don't have a home and space to yourself is crazy. Especially the psychology department didn't recognize me being homeless for a month and a half as a deserving 1 day extension for one assignment. So basically, yeah, was really sort of angsty towards the university for that semester. So yeah, moved twice, And now I'm luckily in a beautiful flat.
So yeah, that was a story from Avalon, a fourth year student here at St. Andrews.
Yes, mold and slugs. I mean, at least they weren't moldy slugs.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, that would be...
That's just...
Really tragic.
Yeah, back to back. Yeah, that'd be, oh God, all kinds of horror. That's probably one reason why I've stayed in hall accommodation, like university accommodation, the entire time. But yeah, so that's the story from Avalon. Make sure to bring in all your stories on the Buzzbox if you like. And here with us now is Association President Freddie Ford to answer any of your questions and also some of our questions about accommodation.
All right. So, Freddie, thank you for being here. First question, what would you say the priorities of the union are for this year regarding accommodation?
Well, thank you very much for inviting me on the show. To start with, I'd say probably my primary priority is hanging out a lot more with Dougal, who you heard more from earlier. And we're happy to know that I brought him back into studio. Aren't you here, Dougal?
It's just my great chat, really. I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, and taking what opportunities I can to hang out with this man. Priorities for the year are, I think, for me, to make sure that we can try and quantify what the problem actually is. I get very concerned sometimes that, on the one hand, you have students rightly complaining, as they were in Parliament Hall last year, that there weren't enough spaces for returning students. But then, on the other hand, you have 300 spare beds in halls. And then that argument, unfortunately, in terms of data carries through to the top of the university, and they say, well, of course there can't be an accommodation problem. The same thing goes for local residents as well. They say, well, there can't possibly be a problem for student accommodation here, without actually being able to get a grip on any of the real evidence, such as what Avalon just described in the piece we heard just now. You know it, I know it, we all see it, we all have friends who have problems, but without actually having that hard data, without having those numbers to refer to, it's very difficult to make that evidence-based argument. So I'd say really that's the main focus, and Dougal already mentioned his fantastic survey. Do you want to plug it again very quickly?
Yeah, go on. So we just, as Fergie said, we needed some data, and we've got enough people now to fill it out, but we've got data we were able to present the university and the residential strategy working group and actually give them some hard facts about what students want and need. So yeah, good job all around.
And on that front, we're working closely with the town and the university on another research group called the Town Commission on Housing, which is seeking to do similar thing. Dougal's survey is trying to discover what the need is for future residences to be built by the university. The Town Commission on Housing is seeking to establish exactly what the housing need is in St. Andrews for students and otherwise. And yeah, as I said, without that kind of data, we can stab in the dark all we like, but we're just going to keep making mistakes, or even worse, we won't make any progress at all.
Wow. So... very important. Freddie,
did I just bore you?
No. So awake, so
excellent,
awake.
Excellent time.
I'm glad you mentioned the town, because we were talking about the ESAN's rejection earlier, and town and gown relations are your thing. So how are relationships going between the university and Fife Council, etc.?
Well, when you put it like that, I haven't really got a choice if it's my thing. I can't comment so much on the university's relationship with the council. Regarding the union's relationship with the council on accommodation, I'm very clear that I want to support any and all opportunities or options, whatever they are. I think it would be foolish of us to shut the door on something before we even consider what the benefits are. Mm. I was disappointed to see the application rejected, although I didn't choose to come out and support it because I don't think we want to be in the position where we are supporting any individual project over any other. Mm. The concept of privately developed accommodation is something I'm very open to for very specific reasons, which I'm sure Dougal probably touched on earlier, which are basically that if private companies are going to come in and build halls, one, I'd rather that we had a say in it, mm, or we were able to guide that process rather than just allowing it to go ahead without us. And second of all, the university's resources are only they only stretch so far. They are limited. We haven't got the money to spend on everything that we want to spend it on, so we have to choose. Mm. And I would rather that money, private money, came in to properly managed and tightly controlled quality accommodation. And by quality, I mean quality of service and support for students who come in, rather than, say, into teaching.
Okay, perfect. So do you feel like there is an accommodation problem in St Andrews? Because the recent Saint article quoted five councils saying that there wasn't one. How do you feel about that?
There is no... This is to highlight the depth of the problem.
Mm.
There is actually no statistic, no reliable statistic anywhere that actually tells you what the population of St Andrews is.
Oh,
is that unbelievable?
That's ridiculous.
Isn't that amazing? But the censuses have always been conducted during the summer when the students are away. Yeah. It's either summer or Christmas, but it's when students aren't here.
Okay.
So it's impossible to know what... And without getting too technical, the way it's done is through a series of wards and the boundaries aren't clear. And how can you possibly, as a starting point, as I said, just to highlight the issue, how can you possibly say there is or isn't an accommodation need? I mean, we... As you know, as I said, why was it the biggest issue at the election if there isn't an accommodation problem?
Mm-hmm.
Why did we have 200 people in university halls and they couldn't get back in? I think the problem is that it's so diverse. It has so many diverse faces to it, whether it be affordable accommodation, private accommodation, university managed halls, whether it's the locals who have their own. When I say the locals, I mean we are residents of the town as well. I'm very keen to stress that we do share the town with the locals. Where they have their own quite right objections from time to time. I think it's nobody really has a leg to stand on. I'd love for a councillor to come in and give the other side his argument, because I don't know where he'd get the statistics or the numbers or the figures from. It is impossible to put your finger on it. And of course, the university student population grows every year and has been growing every year for a number of years, and have the council been taking that into account each year? I don't know. I mean, I've certainly seen no evidence.
I mean, obviously, earlier we mentioned the HMO ban from last year, so that's kind of... Obviously, they're not taking it into account, clearly. Are you making any inroads in terms of the university's relation with the Preservation Trust, kind of trying to work out this whole HMO ban?
Well, until very recently, you would have been speaking to the only student member of the Preservation Trust in St Andrews for the last 4 years. This is... So I think, no, maybe I joined in second year. So for 3 years, I've been a member of the Preservation Trust, and I've been the only student member of the Preservation Trust.
Yeah.
And that's not because I don't like new buildings. It's because, rather looking at the other way, I'm a big fan of the history of the town.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's the Preservation Trust or the Community Council, whatever it might be, I think it's really important for us to understand that we are not the only actors in this situation, and then nor are they. And nor do they seek to be, and nor do we seek to be. And I just think it's a question of tolerance and understanding. We do share this town with local residents. It is one of the reasons I've been such a supporter of the Preservation Trust, is because if it wasn't for them, so much of what we value about this town wouldn't still be here today. And I personally have a very good relationship with their senior figures, and I enjoy discussing these issues. And I make it very clear when I discuss these issues, although I'm a member, I also have a responsibility to the students and to my electorate to represent our needs. And I think it's about working together rather than working apart. My biggest concern in the past has been that you have people waving different flags in different corners, and they won't come in and actually discuss what the issues are and try and figure out a compromise. Otherwise, you get rather drastic wins and drastic losses rather than a more coherent result for everybody.
So where do you see St Andrews in 1 year in terms of housing?
Well, I'd like to think that there's been some progress with two areas in particular. The first is private developers. As I mentioned earlier, the university has limited resources, and I'd rather that money was private money was used and managed correctly by us, whether it be Wardennial Service or whatever, but that we had a say in that, because we know that private developments are going on. It's not just this one at East Sands, that there is wider interest, which, by the way, demonstrates the market need that Fife Council perhaps don't see. So I'd like to see some advancement with that, and again, Dougal's survey is going to help help the university make sure that they've got a good stake in it. And the second is on affordable housing. We all know that St Andrews is regularly attacked for having a low record on students who come from socially deprived backgrounds in Scotland. And part of that has got to do with, well, a lot of it has got to do with accommodation, because somewhere like Glasgow has an urban area of approaching 2 million around it, and a lot of its students commute from home. There are very, very few students really, in, well, certainly in comparison, who are able to do the same thing in St Andrews. And as a result, in order to study here, you need to be able to afford to live here. And as we know, that can be quite difficult. So one of the things that we're trying to get out of the survey is how would you like affordable accommodation to look in the future? I'm certainly in favour of, although I will absolutely let my opinion be guided by the results of the survey, but I'm certainly in favour of the idea of high quality accommodation, mm-hmm. but that the rent is subsidised based on financial need. Mm-hmm. What that would do is avoid concentrating students of particular social backgrounds, whether it be at the high end or the low end, into particular halls, because I don't think that's a desirable situation at the moment. The only other thing I'd like to say is that I hope we can work with Albany Park to get them a proper common room, because I went down to the one of their drinks in Freshers Week, and I've been in their common room before without realising that that really was everything they had.
Oh, wow.
But it's a bike shed, basically, with no windows.
No.
Unfortunately, yes. And I need to be following up on some work on that, but I'm hoping that when I come back we can have a bit of a party in the new common room.
Yeah. Out of the ghetto.
Get the house music going.
Yeah, run another house party.
Exactly. Come on, you got that.
So, yeah, I guess one last question to Freddie, and we asked this one to Dougal as well. But, Freddie, if you found yourself homeless in St. Andrews, where would your hypothetical cardboard box be located?
You didn't hear my answer, did you?
I don't think I want to hear your answer, Dougal.
What are you implying?
Where would my hypothetical... What sort of cardboard box... I mean, do I need to think about shelter, or is this a...
Take it as you want
to
take it.
Okay. Be, like, fanciful, you know.
Okay. Well, probably away from any fire source. I think I'm going to go with... Actually, no, I'm going to go with... there is a platform out the back of the castle by Castle Sands, which has been shut for a number of years. But if you were to go to the end of Castle Sands, and I don't recommend you do this because it's highly hazardous and dangerous and all the rest of it, and I've only heard about it and never done it myself.
Of course not.
If you go right down to the end of Castle Sands and climb over some rocks, there is a ledge that sticks out the back of the castle.
Oh, I've never seen it.
And it's about 2 metres wide. And you can stand there with the castle to your back, the sea tower to your back, just towering above you, and you look out and all you can see is sea. And it's so peaceful. And if you want to look over to your left, you can see West Sands. And if you want to look over to your right, you can see the pier. It's an amazing place. Oh. Might be a little bit exposed, and there's quite a lot of seagulls, but I'm sure I'd survive.
I think you've really thought this through. This seems
well-planned. It wasn't planted.
I feel like this really highlights the differences in both of us.
Is yours in a pub, by
He's
any chance?
Living in Dervish, living on the castle.
Well, my thought was it was just like food and warmth and just general like coziness. But no, I wasn't thinking of the scenery.
Yeah, although I think I might...
Location. That is what they say.
Well, I might struggle with hypothermia after about 20 minutes.
But thanks so much, Freddie, for coming along, and to Dougal as well. And that has been the 5 o'clock news hour. And next up is the next programme.